I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible,
liberty,
and justice for all. Thank you. We ask everybody's patience and just work with us as we get through this. This meeting of the Josephine County Planning Commission will be conducted according to the Josephine County Land Use Hearing Rules found in Article 31 of the Josephine County Rural Land Development Code and Section 197.763 of the Oregon Revised Statute, which governs the conduct of all public hearings. A summary of the rules follows. The planning staff will identify and explain the criteria and standards applicable to this request. Testimony and evidence is to be directed to the criteria and standards. If you feel other criteria or standards apply and are not identified, you must raise the issue to the chair for a ruling. If the chair rules that additional standards apply, then testimony and evidence may be directed towards them. Clearly raise and explain your issues in this hearing in order to be understood by the commission. Before conclusion of the hearing, any participant may request a continuance to submit new evidence or testimony. The commission must decide to either grant the continuance or keep the record open. In either case, the period of time must be at least 7 days. During the time of the open record, anyone may submit additional written testimony or evidence. All persons testifying are considered a witness unless the person asks to be recognized as a party and the chair rules the person has party status. Party status is established in three ways. Anyone who receives official mailed notice and testifies orally or in writing in this hearing. Two, anyone who testifies orally or in writing in this hearing who did not receive official mailed notice but establishes the use or enjoyment of their property is adversely affected by impacts from this proposed use or development that is different from the public at large. And number three, someone who is aggrieved by an adverse decision, the chair will wait until you finish testifying to make a ruling on your party status. Participants are obliged to know and follow these rules and procedures. The planning staff present has a copy of the rules. The first item on the agenda is item 3.1, request for approval to change, blow it up so I can read it. Comp plan designation on the subject property from rural residential commercial residential to commercial and the zone from community residential CR2 to community commercial CC. Does anyone object to the jurisdiction of the commission to hear this matter? There being nothing said, does any member of the commission to abstain from this matter?
I'm sorry, my audio is not right now. I cannot hear you very well.
Right now, I'm just reading the everyday notice. So nobody wishing to abstain. Next, the Josephine County Rural Land Development Code sets time limits for testimony. We have the sheet attached if anyone needs it. At the close of the hearing, a decision shall be made in the form of findings with the presiding officer of the hearing body designating the applicant shall prepare the findings. The criteria for the decision in this hearing shall be presented by the planning staff as part of the staff report. And I believe that's you, James?
That's correct.
Would you please do the staff report?
Good evening.
Hey.
I'm gonna, James Black, Deputy Director, County Planning. I have a PowerPoint that I'm gonna be throwing on sharing here through the screen here in a moment. And I'll give a presentation of the staff report. It is a bit lengthy this time. We are dealing with the zone change. So bear with us as we get through this in this new format.
That's pretty nifty.
And y'all should be seeing my cover sheet, Planning Commission. So let's start off here. general information of this application. The owner of the property is Diamond Merlin, LLC. They're out of Medford. The applicant in this case is Cross Development. Josh Allen is the vice president, and he is online with us. Representatives involve Tectonics Design Group, and I believe we have Matt Rasmussen with us on the web. And as we mentioned tonight, this is a requested action to amend the comprehensive plan designation from residential to commercial, and to change the zone from community residential to community commercial. This would allow future development of the property in a commercial sense, such as a retail store. The existing zone on the property, as I mentioned, community residential CR2, that's a 2-acre minimum there. The comprehensive plan, as we know, it's residential. The legal description of the property is 35621 BD, tax lot 1400. It's located off of Josephine Street, but does front on Merlin Road. This property does not have an address. The property size is 1.4 acres, not aces. The existing use on that property is currently vacant. I provided a little zone history. I went back to 1973. Property has been a residential for its life. Once that woman is a rural residential community in 2005, that's when we made Merlin community with Merlin. This property in question is a vacant lot situated between the Merlin Post Office and the Merlin Trinity Elementary School. And like as I mentioned, the property front on the road. The applicant would like to utilize the property for commercial space, such as a retail store. Community residential zones do not allow commercial retail uses. A comprehensive plan zone change is required to allow commercial uses on this property. The property is in an area of existing commercial uses. There's a gas station nearby, obviously a post office. There's a boat rental business across the street. Application information. The applicant submitted an application review in September of this past year. The pre-app was sent out on November 22nd, which is, you'll see that in Exhibit A of your staff report. The comp plan zone change application, full application was submitted in January of this year. And after our 30-day review, staff deemed the application incomplete on issues of missing information. After many communications and working with the applicant over several months, we were able to deem the application complete in June 15th of this year. The application materials are presented in Exhibit B of this staff report. Per ROS 215-427, 1 and 6, the 150-day deadline does not apply to final decisions on comp plan amendments, meaning we don't have a deadline on this application. This application does not involve an exception to statewide planning goal, nor does it pertain to agricultural forest lands. Therefore, this means the Planning Commission has the authority to make the final decision on this application. Here's an overview map, kind of give us an idea as we zero in on the property. Merlin Road, Merlin Avenue intersection, out in the area surrounding the Shell gas station post office. This is a zoning map distorted on here. We're looking at the brown color is residential properties. Then across the street, you'll see the pink, which we have community commercial. And then the gray represents industrial properties. Aerial photo of the property. For this purpose, we're just seeing this empty vacant lot here located next to the post office and the we have a list of procedures and application requirements to go through. I'm going to go through them as quickly as I can. The first set of procedures we want to look at is applications to amend any element of the comp plan shall be processed using Planning Commission review procedures and the Board of Commissioners review procedures. This application will be reviewed by the Planning Commission in a public hearing and has authority to make the final decision to the Board of County Commissioners in the form of written final ordinance. Then the Board of Commissioners will review those, and then they will put this into effect if it is approved. This next section, 4630, application requirements, is basically talked about an application and fees must be submitted. The applicant has submitted the appropriate application forms and fees to move forward with this application. Section 4648,
The amendments to the plan so much shall demonstrate compliance with all applicable statewide and county goals and policies. The Josephine County Comprehensive Plan to include the code, JCC Josephine County Code, has been acknowledged by the State of Oregon under statewide planning goals. As such, this application will be reviewed in 19.46 of the Josephine County Code. This is the code section that the state approved that we can use to make changes to our comp plan and zone maps. Section 1946-40C, carrying capacity. This section defines carrying capacity as the ability to support proposed development. And what does that mean? We're looking at the feasibility of this property to be able to provide water, septic, adequate access. Is the site stable? These are the things that we need to look at. If the zone is changed to a particular commercial zone, will this property be able to support a commercial type business or commercial type activity on property? And here we're looking at the feasibility. We're not looking at a specific project, we're looking at the feasibility. So that's the test that the applicant needs to bring forward. The applicant must address the criteria that a zone change must be consistent with the character of a surrounding area. This is reiterated under section 19-101-020H of the Josephine County Code. As I mentioned earlier, there was a change where we went from rural residential to community residential. That change was the creation of the Merlin North Valley unincorporated area. That area has its own code section that we need to look at. It's actually another set of rules on what we need to do in order to change the comp plan and the zone on that property. We'll go through some of those. The first one, application to amend the text, maps, or inventories of the Merlin North Valley area shall demonstrate compliance with requirements of AOR Chapter 660, Division 22. What that is under the staff comment, under that section, county plans and land use regulations may authorize only the following new commercial uses in unincorporated communities. Means if we change it to a commercial property, it must fall within these measures, if you will. The uses that you're authorizing are under goals 3 and 4, agricultural forest lands. B, it must be small scale, low impact uses, and uses intended to serve the community and surrounding rural area or the travel needs of people passing through the area. The applicant explains this commercial use is authorized under items B and C. So under this test, the applicant has focused in on item B and C. And they have provided findings in which why they feel that this piece of property is well suited for commercial. Item B, requests involving changes for lands from a resource designation to a non-resource shall comply with statewide exception criteria as follows there. We know that we're not dealing with a farm or forest property, so this B section doesn't apply in this case. Section C, plan or map amendments that add or modify uses allowed within this area shall demonstrate the uses can be supported by adequate on-site subsurface sewage disposal groundwater supplies, or that sewer and water services will be provided consistent with the Dyer facility plan. The applicant is not using that second portion here. They have submitted evidence as far as subsurface sewage and groundwater supplies. Dyer facilities plan is a plan that was developed in the mid, I would say, I had to look at it myself. It was in the mid-2000s. It was a grant plan that provided water and sewer services throughout the area of Merlin. It included Paradise Ranch, it included the airport, it included other major areas. But as we know, that plan has never come to fruition. So I'm glad the word OR is in there in this code. We were thinking ahead, I suppose, when we wrote that section. So when you see a reference to the Dyer facility plan, it is a grant plan for providing water and sewer to the larger Merlin area. My staff here, as I mentioned, the applicant has provided evidence regarding groundwater supplies and on-site sewage disposal. And it's reiterated what I mentioned about carrying capacity on the other set of criteria under Chapter 46. Section B, plan or map amendments that increase the density of residential development or increase small-scale, low-impact, commercial or industrialized size limits shall occur only when the sewer and water services consistent with the Dyer plan facilities are provided. Staff comment here kind of explains that the size limits for small-scale, low-impact commercial buildings is codified on under property development standards in the community commercial zone. New buildings are limited to 4,000 square feet unless an exception can be made.
This application is not changing size limits in the community commercial zones. Therefore, this section does not apply. That one's a little difficult to grasp. Section E, new uses or modified uses and density described in sections C and D of this section shall be consistent and identified function, capacity, and level of service of transportation facilities in the Merlin North Valley area, pursuant to AOR 660-1261A through C. This section is referencing the Oregon Transportation Planning Rule, or TPR. Typically, staff forwards the proposed application to ODOT or County Public Works for review. ODOT has indicated that the zone change would not significantly affect an existing or planned transportation facility of the state. County Public Works comments were provided and are attached to your report in Exhibit C. After ODOT and Public Works review, no request for a formal traffic study was required from either agency. Sometimes when we see zone changes out there, this TPR element may trigger a traffic study. Both ODOT and Public Works came back with no need for a study. They did not see any impacts here. Therefore, they're confident that this section has been met. F, physical characteristics of the land and surrounding area make land suitable for the proposed density and types of uses to include consideration of existing or potential hazards. Flood hazard, wildfire, erosion, pollution, slopes, the presence of wetlands, geologic formations, mineral deposits, or any other similar man-made conditions or circumstances. Staff finds the potential for, as it relates to this property, staff finds the potential for erosion issues given the granitic soil type on the property. Any future development would be required to provide an erosion control and drainage plan. This is the only property flag, if you will, that we find on this particular parcel. In the future, if the zone change occurs and an application comes in for any particular use, they have to go through a site plan review application. Basically, we're going through this all over again to measure, okay, now we have a specific use. We're gonna do public notice. We're gonna go in and look at the review criteria. We're gonna do this all over again for any particular use on the property. That's when we're gonna tackle this erosion control and drainage plan. Item G, the land in its natural state accommodates the proposed uses and densities or special alterations or mitigation plans can reasonably make the land achieve the requirements for basic sewage, solar, groundwater supply, and other physical considerations described in section F of the section. Here again, I mentioned that the county code requires any new development to go through a site plan review process to mitigate any of these issues prior to development property. The full site plan review application does include public notice for those persons who have concerns out there. Item H, H is a two-part section. And the applicant shall choose one or the other to satisfy this code section. The density and sections is authorized by the proposed plan and zone designation that are appropriate based on the requirements of the two sections. Number one, the change in designation at the location is consistent with the character of the surrounding area. Consistency shall be demonstrated by a detailed review of the relationship between the area covered by the proposed change in designations and the surrounding area. Or, number two, demonstrate how the introduction of inconsistent density or uses into an area is justified by. This demonstration may be based upon changes in the area resulting from rezonings, new residential, commercial, industrial, or resource development, the introduction or improvement of public facilities, services, changes to demographics or changes in plan inventories, and other circumstances. The application shall show how the proposed change in designations in the context of the foregoing circumstances implements applicable state and/or county goals and policies. The more the change introduces inconsistent densities, the uses into an area, the greater the burden is on the applicant to justify this change.
Did they designate an H1 or an H2 yet?
They have not. At least the applicant has not in mind. And as you know, we brought that up in our staff report. It was not clear which one of these two items the applicant was going to be addressing. And that's what we're calling out in our staff report. This is something the Planning Commission should at least ask and get clarification on. It's either make a finding for H1 or make a finding for H2 and show clear evidence of the finding. Public notice, agency comments. Just real quickly, staff mailed public notice on August 19th, 20 days prior to this evening. To all owners per assessor's rolls within 1,500 feet of the subject property. Zone changes require us to use this large number or notice area. Staff also published a notice in the Daily Courier on September 4th, explaining that we were having a hearing this evening. And it provided all the Zoom entry requirements and the how to log in information. Agency comments received are attached to Exhibit C of the staff report. I believe ODOT, Public Works, Water Resources, DEQ, and Fish and Wildlife. You'll find comments from all those agencies in the staff report. The Planning Division, we did not receive any comments as a result of public notice to properties within 1,500 feet of this one. We got a few phone calls that came in asking how to log in and a few concerns, but you know, we can't take phone calls. We need those things in writing. As of now, as to this evening, I have not received any comments in writing except for one that we sent out via email earlier today. Staff recommendation. From staff's review of the application, it appears all the criteria has been addressed. However, more explanation and clarification is required from the applicant on several issues. If the applicant's testimony and evidence address these issues, the Planning Commission may make a more informed decision. Staff recommends that the Planning Commission review section 19.101B20. Permitted uses in a community commercial zone as reference to the types of uses this zone change would allow on the property. There's quite a list of items that someone can do on that property. It's good to know what those things are as you go through this review process. Staff reminds the commission that it's a final decision for a comprehensive zone change. No conditions of approval can be used here. The decision must rely on the merits of the application in the record. If the planning commission approves the application, staff recommends the applicant prepare the planning of fact and decision and submit them to the planning division no later than 3 days from the last hearing date. So, Mr. Chair, if we can try to remember that as we go through the process down there. I may intervene here. I got a question on the slide. Let me see if I can move this off. Bring it back to here. Are there any questions from the commission thus far?
Yeah. Mr. Cunningham. Just a couple things now, just for clarification. Basically, the question is to change the zoning on this parcel, but the matters of septic and water and all that are going to be dealt with in future development application processes, correct? I mean, we're not approving the whole thing to go forward. We're just approving the zone change, right?
You are correct. Yeah, that is correct, yes.
Okay. Yes. So the other issues will be dealt with as that, yes, as through the process.
At this point in your review, you're looking for what I like to say feasibility. You want to see enough evidence to say, okay, a reasonable person would say, with the information from me, yes, that property does have the ability for some water, has a method for sewage that may someday help support a commercial development. You're not going to get exact details. They're not coming in with a well on site. They're not coming in with a septic system already in the ground. Those things will come later, but this applicant does have some of that information for you anyway. So you will see that in some of these applications.
Okay.
Which is you going above and beyond.
I gotcha.
Yeah. Commissioner Cook, I believe, had a question.
Yes, I do. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good. Not making sure I'm here. Okay. These were just questions from your staff report that I didn't have earlier, but I'm curious now. Did you say that there was a 2-acre minimum for the commercial in in our code?
That's a good question. Is there a 2-acre minimum in our code?
I thought you were gonna say that.
Right. So what we saw as the zoning here is CR2, community residential 2-acre minimum. That's what the property is right now. So the residential zone here is a 2-acre minimum. If you go look
okay,
at-
Okay, now if-
Yeah, so-
If we change it to-
Yeah, so if you change
if
it
we
to
change
commercial-
yeah.
In the commercial zone, there's a little more flexibility there. In a commercial zone, and I'll double check for you. Let me double check. One half acre.
I guess it would need that then, wouldn't it? Okay, I have one more question. Trying to meet the standards of the Josephine County planning, I'm not used to not being able to go to a site, so I did not go behind the site. And did you say that the street behind this project is not paved? Almond Street is not paved?
Correct. From what I can see, and I can have Public Works chime in on that, the street is unimproved. There's the Almond Street. There's no improvement there. It's essentially trees and brush right now. It's a right of way for future development, but at this point, it hasn't been developed yet.
Okay, so it's not even an overlay at this point.
As far as I know, all there is it's on the map. Basically, it's a designated right of way, unimproved.
A lot of that, okay. James, that most of the Berlin North Valley was platted years ago. So that's an existing plat that these new commissioners aren't aware of.
Yeah, correct. There was a big
plan. Thank you, Chair. Okay, so it was decided to be a road anyway, however, it just hasn't been approved yet.
Correct.
Okay, and I don't know if it's appropriate to ask at this time, but would that be on the burden beyond the applicant then to develop that road?
No. That would remain to be
seen. Would the county then to develop that road?
I would probably refer that to our Public Works Department. When a project comes in for review, they may or may not need to use that road. So I suppose that question will come out later.
Okay, those were just the questions just from your staff report. I have questions later on after the applicant presents, but those were the ones that I got from your report.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sure.
James, Exhibit A, 18.
Exhibit A.
A18 Delta, has that been addressed yet? Or do you know if he's addressing it?
I see Exhibit A, 18.
Page 18.
Exhibit A18. Section D.
E.
Delta. The item D is relevant and must be addressed as the applicant has indicated the proposed use is for retail operation whose planned building exceeds the allowable square footage.
Correct. That has not been. Thank you. I have not seen that in the application.
Right. Well, I think there was something that you said earlier that they weren't intending on going over the 4,000 square feet, but that statement or section kind of tells me they might be.
Yeah. What I do know about that code section is that there's built-in exceptions to that size. There's a list of approved exceptions. So if they come in and say 4,000, but we need to go this big, 9,000 or whatever. There's an argument that needs to be made in which they are able to go to that larger size.
Copy that.
Okay.
Any more questions from the commissioners?
Yeah, there's a map. The last page of Exhibit D has a kind of a site plan with a retail structure. It does say a square footage, but the number is very hard to read. I'm using a magnifying glass. It's still kind of blurry. Looks like it's 20. And they maybe can address that. 2,100 square, maybe that. Well, I can't read the number, so I'll ask that of the applicant.
Yeah, the applicant can probably provide a little more detail on
this. Yeah, D4, that's on.
Any more questions from the commissioners?
One more question. And that's actually, I was thinking about the, before we received an email this afternoon regarding the land and the inventory available. Do you have to address that now or later?
I want to have Melissa email him the phone number to call in.
Can you hear me?
You're choppy, Hamid.
Wait for Hamid. Are there any other questions?
I'm listening. No, Hamid,
I'm working on it.
So James, while we're waiting,
sure. Just
a quick question.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. But just again, just to clarify, because I know there are several things going on that we can show potential problems. For example, you mentioned the size of the building, or maybe you have made it, it's not the nylon side. But that's not the answer, right? It's not the nylon side, but there's people based on the data that is in, you know, the DQ of nylon.
Yeah. So that's definitely. Maybe we'd have Hamid mute his mic, and that would help us. Except we could basically deny it. I did offer a way in which they could get a holding tank.
Okay.
What you mean here is how plain that is. In order to have a house, you have to have self-service. You can't use a holding tank.
Oh.
But in a commercial setting, you can. That is not true. So
okay.
That is something that the commission can think about when they look at it.
Okay.
It's not an email. It's not an email. I'm not sure if we have Hamid fully.
Mr. Chair, would it be appropriate maybe just to move forward?
It would, because we still have a quorum. We can move forward and if he comes back in, we can get his question.
Sure.
So let's get the applicant in here and going. We're
so
a lot of time.
Okay. So if I concluded my staff report, we would be moving into the applicant's presentation if the chair is ready for that.
Chair is ready.
Okay. We have two people listed as attendees. The applicant is listed as Josh Allen. I do see his name here on our list. And Melissa, if she can activate that, move him over to a panelist list. And if Mr. Allen can turn on video or microphone, and then we have Matt as well.
Yes, good evening, everyone. Can you hear me?
There you are.
Great. How's everybody doing?
Good evening.
Good. Good. Well, I want to thank everybody first for spending the evening, and I know it's a lot going on there currently, so I wanted to just take the time and say thank you for this. But I'm here today on behalf of Cross Development and Diamond LLC to further discuss this zone change request to a CC commercial zone. I'm here really to give a brief presentation on why I think this is a good change of the zone. I'm here also fielding questions from the committee and anyone else that can explain further things that may not be clear in the staff report, or just more questions in general from anyone else. So,
all right, we're not going to worry so much about time limit, but we all have the report, so you don't have to read it verbatim.
Okay. Okay, great. So, so the first thing is the location of this property, how it's kind of wedged in between the post office and the alternative center school. Having those as two direct neighbors and directly across the street from the Isabel station and welding business and the boat wrapping facility, this seems to make sense, just logically, that this piece of property in particular would be a best use as a commercial property. As we've already discussed in the staff report and through questions earlier from the committee, the overall size actually doesn't even meet the criteria for residential in this case, but it would for commercial. And so we feel for all those reasons, and we've done our diligence as far as our report, but obviously it's a commercial use now in the future. We've been about the stage process to show that it is a feasible option for it to become a commercial property, impact to the property, the utilities, and some other owners for this change of use, change of zone. And that's not going to staff report really well. We have consulted with well companies, well real estate in the area, have done this work at Realty Wells in Maryland specifically, and they have agreed and have submitted part of our application that the all surrounding area around this property had adequate water quantity and quality based on existing data coming from existing wells. So that's one major feasibility part to work through. The second one is also part of another discussion regarding the sewer viability of the situation on this property. And this is perfect data. If this would remain residential, it would be very hard for it to have an operating septic system. However, if we change it to commercial, it is much likely that we can have a suitable system that can be, you know, adequately maintained, have a long-term contract for someone to come in and pump that holding tank that the state's already approved for the site. So it's I feel a very feasible option for this property, even more so than it would be if it would remain residential. And the last really main part is access. There's obviously great frontage on Merlin Road. And then there isn't exactly connection to Josephine Street, even though I kind of noticed that was indicated on the staff report. There's actually a small piece of property, about 0.4 acres, that's between our little dog leg in the property and Josephine Street itself. So Merlin is kind of the main point of access that we would be looking to connect to. And there's already been discussions with Public Works about this, and also with the neighboring school about possibly even just sharing an entrance to minimize impact to traffic and maximize driveway spacing. So all of that's already been through, I guess, the due diligence effort to make sure this site's a feasible commercial site. And we've done our homework to date. So with that, I kind of want to maybe touch upon one other thing that was brought up in the report that might have been just had some questions, which I think was the H1 versus H2 part of the report. And right. We would like to further identify with the H1 section of that ordinance where we are, you know, providing evidence of the surrounding like uses on kind of both sides of this Merlin Street with the neighboring post office that essentially acts as a commercial business, and then the, you know, the Merlin Alternative Center who is open to the public, has normal sort of business style hours
and all intents and purposes really acts as a business more so than, you know, a residential purpose. And then obviously the existing residential or commercial zone across the street already exists with active commercial businesses as well. So that's the area that we were trying to best explain. I know Matt, who's on our team as well, is on the phone as well, and I don't know if there's anything that he would like to add before questions, but I'm happy to give a little time to Matt too if anybody has questions regarding anything else.
I'm still waiting for Exhibit A 18, Section D as in Delta, to be addressed.
Is that the site? Is you talking about the size of the building per se?
Yeah.
Yeah. So as far as I'm aware, and under the code, the building is not necessarily required as part of a zone change request. I could be wrong, and Mr. Black could correct me, but I believe that's part of a separate site plan review process.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else have questions?
Yeah, I need to go back to James, but this is something he can answer. I'm just curious. James, are you there? You're busy.
I'm here. I'm just looking for that session.
Okay. Just curious as to why the post office and the school are zoned CR2 when they aren't. That really isn't a. I mean, they're more like the developer said. It's more of a commercial, not a residential zone. I mean, that whole block is zoned C2, but those are not CR2 uses. Because they are adjacent to the property question, which is more, they're more commercial than they're residential. So how does that? What happened? How could that be?
So, in residential zones. You're correct. The first and primary use is residential use, single family dwelling. That's what it's for. Mm-hmm. But as you read through these code sections, as you go further into residential zones, you'll find conditional uses. Okay. And then you'll find a sublist of additional uses that can happen there. And believe it or not, fire stations, police stations, post office, elementary schools are allowed as a conditional use in residential areas.
Okay.
That's how those got there.
Okay. That makes sense. Okay, thank you.
Hello.
Go ahead.
I have a question of the applicant. Per the staff report, we were told that there was no access off Merlin Avenue, that the access was going to be Josephine Street or something like that. So I'm confused. I'm hearing something different from the staff report than from what I'm hearing from the applicants.
Yes, thank you for the clarification. So in the report, I believe it actually says Almond Street that is a possible connection point, which is the one that was under discussion earlier about not being currently developed.
That is correct. It does say Almond Street.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's what's in our staff report. So I'm hearing you say Merlin Avenue. And so I want to clarify where the point of access, and is there only one ingress and egress?
Yeah, and I believe this will be covered more so in the actual site plan review process, but I would believe the commercial access point for if this would become a commercial property would most likely be Merlin Road. And that would be, if this would be commercial and we would have the option to do that, that would be our preference. And that's thus why we've had prior conversations with the Public Works Department about, is that possible? Is it feasible to do so?
This is Eric Isak, our transportation planner from Public Works. And I was involved in the review of this project initially. We did recommend access come from Almond Road because access spacing standards won't allow an access point to Merlin Road from this project. Our access management standards require certain distances, not only between driveways, but from intersections to driveways. And this property, the entire length of it along Merlin Road, conflicts with those access management standards. So we defaulted to our transportation systems plan, which has a policy in it, a recommendation that says properties with frontage along two streets shall take primary access from the street with the lower classification. And in this case, the lower classified street is Almond Road, which, as the applicant correctly noted, is not developed there behind the property, but there is platted right-of-way, a paper street, if you will, that could be developed to provide access to Almond Road, which then leads out to Josephine Street.
But there's no requirement to make him improve that road.
Not right now. No, you are correct. That would all occur during site plan or conditional right. use. Process, whichever we go through.
So nothing we really care about as far as the zone change.
That's correct.
That answers my question.
Okay, did the applicant have somebody else that needed to speak?
Yes.
Teresa, you said you were done.
Oh, no, if the applicant has more to say, then I want to hear that because maybe he's going to address my question.
Yeah.
No, I didn't have anything else to say. I was just going to introduce Matt Bassett, our consultant here, and we're using the application process for our team. Also on the phone. There are questions that he may answer as well.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead, Teresa.
Okay. Well, my question of the applicant is, in light of the housing situation in Josephine County, Southern Oregon, all of the state, all of the whole country, you know, our housing situation, and especially since this, you know, a housing shortage and this affects the surrounding residential, this does not read our state planning goals, nor the Josephine County planning goals. I have the planning goals in front of me, and that is to provide adequate housing. So for how can we explain this?
Yeah, so that kind of goes along with a letter that we received just this afternoon from the Fair Housing Council. And this is not obviously something that we have not had a chance to adequately address because we just received it today. But, you know, based on what we have seen in this zoning code and this zoning designation as it exists right now in the community residential CR2, there is a 2-acre minimum for a residential property. And so this property in question is 1.54 acres. So it would only allow for one residential property, one single family home, essentially, to be on this property. And so really it's I guess we're taking that one house and changing it to one commercial use that serves community. And I guess that's my quick answer to a report and an email and a letter I just received today. And if there's further discussion or further due diligence that we need to do to provide the information that we just received today, then you know that would be something we could do.
Well, it addresses both statewide and county planning goals. So, yeah, that's what I was concerned how you were going to address that. But if they are saying it's only with this property could only accommodate one single family dwelling unit, then I guess that kind of throws that one out.
If my term's right, James, I would say it's irrevocably committed at this point to not being a residential, being surrounded by the existing businesses.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, this property only allows currently one single family home. And that is a strong argument to start with if and when the applicant starts addressing this this letter that he received. Mm-hmm. He may want to refine a statement, make it stronger. Obviously, this is an organization that might be interested in appeals. So the applicant probably, maybe they want to make a better argument before this thing moves forward.
I have a question. Can you hear me?
Go ahead.
The question is for Josh, and you mentioned that you have a commercial contract for a sewage system. Based on the report that I was reading, there is only a 1,000 gallon tank, holding tank allowed. And there's a, and that's for 250 gallon daily usage. So you mean every 4 days you're going to have a commercial on that tank? Is that the process? Or is that what you're going to take it?
I'm sorry, I was getting a lot of static. I couldn't quite make that out. Could anybody else?
No, I cannot hear anything.
All I could hear was about the 1,000-gallon tank.
could we maybe have the Commissioner DeSimone, or could Hamid maybe email his question to Melissa or James to have them read it?
And so maybe I can just expand upon the sewer conversation a little bit more, if that maybe where he was asking about the 1,000-gallon tank. But per the state's letter, you know, they found it insufficient to put a in-ground system on this property, but we could put a tank on site that would be privately monitored and privately pumped periodically to service the property. We have had several different properties that we have developed across the country that have had similar arrangements. And what we've been able to do is set up a long-term contract with a local septic pumper company, I guess, technically, that goes in periodically, whether it's every 3 weeks or every month, depending on the quantity that's needed. And then just pumps it out and takes it to a facility that can handle such a deposit, I guess.
Right, but to me that also follows up that septic was denied on this property. So it's not a great site for a residential.
Correct. Based on that, my understanding is they couldn't get a system that would work here.
Well, I have another question, Ben.
Go ahead, Teresa.
About the septic. How can we honestly say that a septic, which the standards and the rules here said, we have a 4,000 square foot building and we're going to have septic for two people?
Well, it doesn't matter. That's all going to be addressed when the building is built.
I just to me that just seems very odd, where we're saying that it could not accommodate a family, however it can accommodate a 4,000 building and only two employees, and we know that there'll be more employees than that there.
That's not what it said. It said two employees, but they said a septic tank is declined or denied, but a holding tank was acceptable. Holding tanks are not allowed on residential without some kind of variance or special circumstance. But that doesn't affect us right now, because the zone change doesn't really care. When they come back to build the building, then all of these questions will be valid, and that's when that would be attacked.
Okay.
Any other questions? I see Hamid made it back. So at least we got him.
I don't know if you can hear me or not.
You're really bad, Hamid. Can you email the questions in?
My questions were pretty much the one that I stated regarding the septic and also the building land inventory in our area for backup housing. You can hear me.
Yeah, you're breaking up, Hamid. It's just really difficult to hear you.
I'm going to try to do it.
I'm not sure who has control, but also Matt with my group, I think is muted. I don't know if we can unmute him somehow too. there we go.
He's unmuted.
Okay, great. Thank you for that. In case there was questions for Matt, or Matt had another point to make, but
well, let's just kind of kill a minute, see if Hamid can email over questions that he has so planning office can read those. Other than that, is there anyone else that has any questions? All right. We're just giving Hamid a minute to see if he sends something over, because we can't hear him. He just breaks up way too bad. And
I have a question, Commissioner DeSimone here. James Black. James, do we, this letter that was received today mentions housing need analysis and buildable land inventory. The county must refer to its housing needs analysis and buildable land inventory. Not that I think the gist of this letter is based off referring to Goal 10, which I think is kind of mute from the information we received today, stating that it's under 2 acres and that you can't put a septic system for a residence there. So that's why I kind of am at this point see this as not a critical issue, but just curious because of these two terms that were brought up, this housing needs analysis and buildable land inventory. Is that something that the Josephine County has?
So I got the same letter probably about, 2 hours ago, just like Josh did. So those inventories, I would need time to dive in and try to find those. I have, they're familiar for sure. I just need to find out where they are located, provide that to the applicant, and if they so choose to firm up the finding on this issue, that is something.
Just to comment that, yeah, there is definitely a shortage of affordable housing in our area, but there is also a shortage of commercial enterprises for employment. And we don't see that being addressed by the state planning goals, at least not brought to our attention. But that is a reality that I think most of us realize, that there is a need for more commercial enterprises to employ our kids in this area so they don't move out of here. I mean, there's a lot of needs here, and I think we have to, balance out the total picture, not just consider residential development.
Yeah, Commissioner DeSimone here. Yeah, and I think they kind of covered that with the staff report in terms of just mechanical goals 3 and 4, it's small scale impact, intended to serve community people or capacity. So yeah, we do cover that, Jim. So I think, that's a valid point. And I think they do kind of fit that in the application.
Yeah.
Okay. No, any questions for the applicant?
I want to thank everybody for your time tonight, and I appreciate everyone's questions and hopefully we can move some forward. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. I would say that let's close it from the public testimony. Let's bring it to the commission. Hamid can still chime in at any point and get his questions answered still.
We do have a few people in the queue, if I will say.
You want to run them off then?
So I assume we're moving into public testimony. Any opponents, people of that matter. But it looks like I'm counting 1, 2, 3 people in the queue. And if I assume Melissa will bring one over and allow them to speak, and then we'll move on to the next one.
I will bring over Gail Oliver.
Okay.
Gail,
I'm here.
Good evening. Welcome to the commission.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Yeah, we live on the corner of Josephine and Acorn. Okay. And as a resident here for all these years, it's quite difficult to get out of Josephine Street by the post office with all the vehicles parking from Orange Torpedo. And now this business saying that they want to come off of the Almond Street if you are going to pave it, clean it, make it a paved road. We're just totally against it. So I just wanted to get my voice in there and be heard.
Gail, can you provide your address for us?
Yes, it's 320 Acorn Street. And I'm right on the corner of Acorn and Josephine.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
From what I remember reading, James can tell me if I'm wrong, Gail, that the business did not request the access from Almond Street. They were asked to request the access, if I'm correct.
I don't know where it comes from. All I know is that if it was going to come off of this side property behind the post office, it's going to make it even more difficult for the local residents to come in and out off of our streets to get back out onto Merlin Galise Road.
Right. And if they're going out on Merlin Galise Road, does that have any effect to you or any complaint on your end?
No, because when I turn off of the road, I expect that road to be busy. I expect there to be a lot of traffic from Orange Torpedo or people just coming into town or going out. I just prefer not to see it in behind the post office off of that almond exiting out. And then the possibility of transients or whatever else making camps even more so along that area.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
You have a good night.
Thank you.
Next in line.
Let's see, I have Brian Hawkins.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good evening, Brian.
Good evening. Thank you.
We need your name and address, please.
I'm actually out of the area. I'm just listening because I'm on the Collaborative Economic Development Committee and I like to stay informed about what's going on in our community. So I don't have any comments, but I certainly learned a lot and enjoyed listening in.
Well, thank you. Have a good night. Melissa, next.
Okay, just a moment. I have a telephone number. I do not have a name. Oh, and it's not allowing me to promote them.
Maybe they're just a call-in listener?
Must be, because it's not giving me the option to promote them to the meeting. Okay. And that's all we have.
That's everybody, okay.
How did I get Brian Hawkins back? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to put you back in.
Okay,
I'll
go away.
Okay.
That's all I have.
All right.
Oh, Ron's muted.
All right. Am I back now?
You're back.
I was kicked out, so I had to come back in.
Sorry.
So the only complaint against was Gail Oliver, who did not want access coming off of Baldwin, which is not in our zone request at this point.
Right.
Nothing that we have to worry about until they go build and let them deal with it at that point.
Right.
So, yeah. So their game plan is to come off Merlin Galise Road, but I think it's public works and wants them to go in that way. But again, I don't see that affecting this application. I think we've lost a meeting, but we still have four, so we have our quorum. So I would close it at this point for public testimony and discuss it among the commissioners. And Mr. Cunningham, I'll let you go first tonight.
Well, I'm basically ready to go and make a proposal that we go ahead and approve the request. So I feel good about it. I think it fits. I think it's it corresponds with the surrounding uses as well. It's something that would be just makes a lot of sense to me. I don't have any problems with it.
Hey, Ms. Cook. She's muted.
I cannot hear her.
She needs to unmute herself.
Melissa's muted now, too.
Can you hear me now?
There you go.
Hello? Okay. Boy, I have to unmute myself from three or four different places. Okay. Whether it be residential or commercial, I have issue with access, especially if it's commercial. So I want that to be addressed. I want to know the answer to that. And I want to know the answer to the goal. So my tendency at this point is a no.
What answers are you looking for?
Well, I'm not exactly sure at the access at this point, because what I'm hearing is something different from our public works and something different from the applicant. And so whether it is commercial or residential, we need to know access. And I'd like to know how they want to address it with the statewide planning goals that with the letters that came today. Okay. And if that has to be done later at the site plan, I don't particularly feel good about it.
Okay. Ms. Moan?
Yeah, I mean, looking at this letter from the Fair Housing Council, at first I was like, oh, wow, we've got to really look at this planning goal 10, what Teresa has concerns about. But upon really looking into the application and hearing about the site and the lack of ability to put a residence on there, one, because of septic, two, because of the size of the parcel, that, you know, their question is, and I'll read it out loud from their letter, for example, how many potential units of housing could be built on the property with the current residential zoning? I think the answer is zero. You know, maybe one, but I think the septic, that needs to sound more for me, like, no, they can put a septic for a residence. So, and my opinion, I like to come to see and look at, see what's the local people that I say, if I live there, I would be concerned about that driveway coming out back. I prefer it to be on Merlin, and it looks like that little drawing last week, T4, we showed the driveway, and it's actually the driveway to Merlin Alternative Center, you know, getting access off Merlin Road. So that would, again, have to be addressed, you know, the transportation review, find the site plan review. So at this point, I'm going forward and looking around. You know, you've got the Merlin Alternative Center, that's the local class, and it should have to be on the north. It kind of fits the issue, but I don't think it's really odd to see this little small, going back, you know, commercial building on the site. So I'm going to work on that site. Thank you.
Okay, I am also for it. I believe this one piece of land is irrevocably out of the residential area.
Yeah.
Not put a house in between two businesses. It doesn't matter. You have no septic. The septic has been denied, which is not good for residential. I don't see any other disqualification that I see that says we should not move forward. I think the applicant needs the application, and the telling what they do.
What is the school currently being used for?
It's a civic center. It was a school years ago, but now it's used as a community center, would be more accurate.
Well, it's actually used for special needs educational purposes. It actually has classes for students from the high schools, and the Three Rivers is using it as an alternative school. So it does have actual usage during the school year, you know, pre-COVID.
You know that.
I've had employees that said that they went to that school, so I was wondering if it was still a school.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, still used.
Would you like to hear a motion from the floor?
I would.
All right. I'll make a motion. This is Commissioner DeSimone to approve to change the comprehensive plan designation on the subject property from residential to commercial and the zone from community to residential CR2 to community to commercial CC.
Would you take a vote, please?
Would you need a second?
I will second that.
Okay, there you go.
Okay. Commissioner Cunningham?
Yes, I vote in favor of it.
Oh, hey, wait a minute. Before we do the roll. Oh, no. Go ahead.
Commissioner Cook?
No.
Commissioner DeSimone?
Yes.
Commissioner Wright?
Yes. Motion passed. 3-1, which is okay. Never hurts to have somebody have a different opinion.
Mr. Chair, can you make another statement about the findings being done for us?
I was going to do that.
Thank you, sir.
Actually, kind of positive minute. So the motion has been made to approve the application. That's submitted. The rest of the second, all that against the approval sign, anybody else? The findings have been within a 10-day time frame.
I was going to give them 30 days because of the comp plan amendment.
The applicant 30 days. If you can sign in, you can put it down and make sure you're paid in that.
Josh.
There we go. Okay. Yes, I got them in 30 days.
30 days to submit your findings to the planning.
Okay.
And that's it. Thank you. We appreciate everybody showing up tonight. We can go ahead and let Josh go home, and we've got a couple of things we'll work with, and then we'll get us out of here.
Well, thanks, everybody. Stay safe.
Have a good night.
Thank you.
So we have matters from the planning commission. Is there anything? Anybody have anything? Is there being none? Public comment? Pretty much everybody's here. Anyone got a hand raised anywhere? I don't see one. Brian,
oh, yeah. Brian Hawkins raised his hand.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so a little background information. So adjacent to the school there, the park. So we have a little park there. And in fact, part of that park field is part of the septic system for that facility. Anyway, since you're that park mentioned, I just thought you'd be aware that that is actually on school property.
We're not aware. Thank you. Okay, planning director report. Anything to report?
I have nothing to report at this time. As you all know, that we're still operating under COVID rules. Front counter limited time at our front counter. Our office, we're all wearing masks when we're out and about and in the office. Also, as you know, that some of our staff is actually helping with some of these fires and evacuations that we have going on right now. So we've been working with a skeleton crew here, having some of our staff helping at the Emergency Operations Center. So other than that, I have nothing else to report.
All righty. Thank your staff that are helping with that. We appreciate it.
Sure.
And that's it. We'll call the meeting closed.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good night.